This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading, followed by a sermon, and then concluding with a prayer.
On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 liters. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out of it and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants had drawn the water new. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So we end there at verse 11. This week, my son Noah said he needed some advice because he said one of his friends might be getting married this week in the playground. Later in the week, I asked him, "Do you still need that advice, Noah, about the wedding that's going to happen?" And with a note of sadness, he broke the news to me that the wedding's not going ahead. Weddings can both be, on the one hand, so planned, so prepared for, but on the other hand, things can happen that can be unexpected that we don't foresee. In Jewish culture, weddings are an important occasion, not only for the family, but the whole community. It wasn't just a family event. Weddings were community events. And this was a Cana wedding, a Cana celebration. We're not told who the family are. We're not told who the bride and the groom are. We're told it's a Cana wedding. To celebrate the wedding, there's a party in a place that is beautifully decorated. There's abundant food. There's drink. There's dancing. The guests would enter into this spirit of generosity. They would come dressed in their best clothes. They would bring a gift for the bride and the groom. They would often, in Jewish culture, sing a song to give to the bride and groom or sing over them as a blessing. They would maybe read some ancient poetry again as a blessing. And the bride and groom were anointed with aromatic oils. So the very air smelt good. Everything was good at a wedding. Weddings are great, but they can also be pretty stressful. I remember before our wedding, due to unforeseen events, Jonathan's passport was stolen. Due to more unseen events, 48 hours before the wedding, our band pulled out. And I could give you a few other stories. Maybe you have your own, or the stories of others where you've tried to plan and prepare, but inevitably something happens that's unforeseen. I've been present at weddings where the cars didn't arrive to collect the bride. Guests weren't able to come because there were no flights due to a volcano in Iceland. The bride was sewed into her wedding dress and was clearly in a lot of discomfort, both at the door where I greeted her and walking up the aisle. There's floor girls' tantrums, grooms having panic attacks, ushers putting guests in the wrong seats, which causes all sorts of family dynamics, and rain in July. You know, you just couldn't make it up. Despite all the wedding planning preparation, the unexpected happens. And it happened here in Cana. They ran out of wine. Vast quantities of wine would have been ordered in advance, stockpiled after the grape harvest, stored away, specially chosen good wine to be served first, and then the not so good wine to be served later. And there wasn't a local off license you could go if you ran out of that wine and you needed some more. When it's gone, it's gone. So to not have enough wine, to not have enough food, or to not have enough for all your guests would have been so humiliating and brought shame and disgrace upon this family. And not only upon the family, but the whole community in Cana. Did you hear about the Cana wedding where they ran out of wine? No, I wouldn't go to a wedding in Cana. Mary tells Jesus they have no more wine. And Jesus asks, why involve me? Why get me involved in this? Why involve me? Good question. Why was Mary involving Jesus? Because Mary, who we're told here in John's Gospel, in case you didn't know, the mother of Jesus, knew who Jesus was. She had been told by an angel that he was the Son of God Most High, the Mighty God. Elizabeth, her cousin, had told her when she met her 30 years previously, and Mary was pregnant, and Elizabeth was pregnant. Elizabeth said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child. When Jesus was born, Mary then heard from shepherds that angels sang praises in the sky above Bethlehem. Wise men followed a star, took them on a journey hundreds of miles to be in the presence of her son, Jesus, and they offered gifts to him and they bowed down and worshipped him. When Mary took Jesus into the temple, an old man called Simeon and an old woman called Anna made a point of coming up to Jesus in her arms, remarking that in her arms was the glory of God. And when Jesus was lost, Mary found him in the temple, and the religious leaders remarked at her son's authority and his wisdom beyond his years. For 30 years, Mary had contained within her all that she knew about her son Jesus. She was no longer able to keep it to herself. All within her wanted to say to the world, this is Jesus. Do you know who he is? Do you know why he's here? Do you know what he can do? She was to become like the very jars in this miracle that were filled to the brim and would overflow with blessing. Mary knew she could turn to Jesus. Mary knew she could involve him in this moment of this family's crisis, this community crisis. Mary knew only Jesus could change the circumstances around. Mary knew Jesus. Jesus asks, why involve me? But Mary doesn't answer him. Well, not so much in words. In her actions, she answered him. Look what she does. She goes to the servants, and Mary tells them, do whatever he tells you. Obey him. Trust him. Look to him. So Jesus instructs the servants to fill up the jars to the brim in verse 7. It says there were 6 stone jars there for Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. So these jars had been already used for the ceremonial washing of hands and feet as guests arrived, a Jewish purification ritual. But given that these jars, we're told, hold between 20 to 30 gallons, they tell us that there were a lot of guests at this wedding already. Okay, as Martin was saying earlier, some of you are mathematicians, do the maths. There's a lot of guests here. The whole of Cana, and maybe some in the region beside, had turned up to this wedding to celebrate. 6 stone jars with 20 to 30 gallons of wine, in them total 120 to 180 gallons. We're talking about 1,000 bottles of wine. We're talking about vast quantities of wine. Then in verse 8, Jesus instructs them to draw some water, and take it to the master of the feast. And the people were amazed. They weren't drinking water. They were drinking wine. And they weren't drinking just any wine. They were drinking fine vintage wine. The stone jars used to carry water for ceremonial purification in Jewish community had turned into vintage wine bottles. But still, the question is, why so much wine? You know, why 1,000 bottles worth? Why so much? In the Bible, actually, wine in the Old Testament, as you read through it, wine is a sign of blessing. Read Psalm 104 or Proverbs chapter 3. And isn't God's blessing a reason to celebrate? Let me point to 2 passages in particular in the Old Testament. The first is Genesis 49, when Jacob's blessing his sons. Jacob comes to Judah and he announces over Judah, his son, he announces that from Judah there will come a very important king. And then he goes on to describe this king in chapter 49, verse 11 to 12. And he describes this king as coming and washing his very garments in wine. When this king comes, there will be so much of abundance of everything good, you'll be able to wash your very clothes in wine. The blessings would be overflowing when this mysterious king comes. We now know this is a prophecy of Jesus coming. Jesus coming from the line of Judah. Another passage let me share to you, just to emphasize how in the Bible, wine is a sign of God's blessing. We move to Amos, one of those little books of the prophets tucked at the very end of the Old Testament. He's looking back to the glory days of King David, and he looks back, and then he looks ahead to when another king would come. And he says, this anointed would usher in the days of unparalleled, exuberant blessings, and he describes what those days will be like here in Amos chapter 9. And you see that little phrase there in that passage, the mountains shall drip sweet wine. Amos paints there in that passage a picture of God's blessing. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, the hills shall flow with it. The passage describes the overflowing abundance of God's blessings upon his people. Amos promises this day will come. It's another prophecy about Jesus coming. And so now we're in Cana. And in Cana, Jesus gives a glimpse of this abundant blessing that he offers, abundant fine wine. Every Jew in that place would know that in their scriptures, wine represented blessings. And here what we have is Mary sitting beside Jesus, knowing who he is, knowing that he is the source of all blessings, knowing that because of him, she herself is blessed. And we, like Mary, we who know Jesus, we live with access to God's abundant blessings. You live with access to God's abundant blessings if Jesus is in your life. Your life is like those jars of clay with vast quantities of water in them, but under the authority and power of Jesus, when your life is poured out, when you give to others whatever it may be, whether it's your skills and your knowledge, whether it's your money, whether it's your time, if you give it in Jesus' name and trusting in Him, He can transform it in something more than just ordinary. This was extraordinary. And such a blessing to so many people. Here's how Paul describes it in the New Testament to the church in the city of Corinth. And I want to say it to you as a church in the city of Belfast today. Here's what Paul writes. He's saying here, Christians are like jars filled with all the blessings, the treasures of God. So we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus, and he's talking here about the resurrection life, the full life of Jesus, the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body, in our lives. You see, Jesus in our lives, that means not only do we have the power of the cross to overcome sin in our lives, to not let it get in the way or even be present, but we no longer receive the consequence of our sin, that is death. So we live not just with Jesus' death, but the power of his life, resurrection, eternal life. So we are jars of clay that carry around this great power, this great worth, like those jars in Cana. Going back into the Old Testament, in Nehemiah chapter 8, it says a little verse we put up on the screen. This little verse here. The context of this verse is that the city of Jerusalem has been destroyed and they're trying to rebuild the walls. They're surrounded by their enemies. They're being opposed. They're being undermined. They're being threatened. They're tired from their work. They're weary. But what they do is they gather together on the Sabbath like we are here. And they gather together on the Sabbath and they come together and the people listen to God's words like you are now. And Nehemiah says, now that you've listened to God's word, I want you to go and celebrate with good wine and food. Go and read that passage in Nehemiah chapter 8. And that's what he says. And then he says, share with those who don't have any good wine or good food, because let's remember who we are. Yeah, our circumstances are not great, but our joy is in the Lord. That's where we find strength. Not from our circumstances, because we are not circumstantially strong, but there's a strength within us that comes from our Lord. We have reason to rejoice. We have a mighty God and we have a good God. So go and rejoice. Go and live with joy. Go and enjoy the blessing and be a blessing to others. And at the wedding in Cana, Mary couldn't contain her joy any longer. 30 years she'd been carrying this around. She is bursting to the brim like the jars. She'd been so blessed. And she wanted others to know who Jesus was and for them to be blessed too. So let me finish with this. Let's hear this question one last time. But I want you to hear it as if Jesus is speaking to you. And he's asking you the question this morning about your life, your situation. And he's asking, why involve me? Why involve me in your life? Why am I in your life? Why do you need me in your life? Why involve me? Well, I want to say, why not? You know, your life may be like you're enjoying good wine. But what if actually you're missing out on the best wine in life? The finest wine. Your life is good. It's okay. But what if your life could be full and actually at its best and so satisfying? That's what it's like in Jesus. We are blessed vastly, richly. So no matter what our circumstances, dilemmas, worries, troubles, we know we can trust in Jesus. Like those servants who were told, do exactly what he tells you. We know we can look to him and do exactly what he tells us. Follow his commands, trust in him. We are a jar filled with blessings so we can draw upon Jesus in our life. Do you know the challenge that this story in Cana is for us today? Is who will you take time to this week let know something about who Jesus is? Who will you take time this week to try and show or share or speak to in some way about who Jesus is and why they should look to him? That's the challenge. Mary couldn't contain her joy in what she knew about who Jesus is and what he can do. But the thing is, she'd been so blessed, she was so compelled to. She didn't even wait to answer Jesus' question. She was out of her seat and away. She was off to the servants. There were many reasons why Mary, a woman with no status, no authority, no power, should have stayed in her seat and kept silent. But she'd spent time with Jesus. She'd enjoyed his company, and when she left her seat and she spoke to the servants, it wasn't in her own strength. It was in the strength of who Jesus is. How much you're used by God will depend upon how much time you're willing to spend with him. You take time spent with God at the start of your day, you're like those jars, you're filled to the brim. And then whatever situation you go to, you can pour out. Yeah, it just seems like ordinary water. But you're doing it in Jesus' name. So actually, you could bring a blessing in all sorts of ways you could never imagine. Like at this in Cana, who would have imagined? It's a miracle. You couldn't imagine it. But that is what God is inviting us into. This wasn't meant to stay in Cana. Thankfully, we have John's gospel to share with us who Jesus is and what he can do, not just in Cana, but in your life too. Let's take a moment now and let's pray. Father God, we have heard this morning this story in Cana. And we hear you asking us the question, why involve me? Why involve me in your life? Well, Lord, you know how much we need you. And you know how much we want you. We want to know all those blessings. We want to receive all of that life to the full. We want to live in all your goodness. We want to enjoy all that you have done through your cross and your resurrection. We want to be your people, going out into the world, into this week, meeting whoever, whenever, and being able to be a blessing. So, Father God, I pray that you would bless every single person here. Vastly and richly bless them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, send them out in your name and your power. Amen.
Let's pray. Loving God, as we meet here this morning, may your light shine into this place through your Holy Spirit. We bring to you, God, the life of our church. We ask for guidance as we look forward to the future. Help us to grow in faith and in fellowship, and as disciples and in numbers. We ask for guidance in our daily living. Help us to draw closer to you and to learn more each day of your love. We ask for guidance in our life together. Help us to draw closer to one another and to show genuine care and concern and support for each other wherever possible. We ask for guidance in our witness. Help us to come closer to the community around our church, to serve wherever we see the need. And let us be bold and tell the good news of Jesus whenever the opportunity arises. And help us to look into our own lives and to be ruthless in rooting out any stumbling blocks of actions, inactions, attitudes or thoughts over which we could potentially trip and spiritually fall. Father, this morning we pray for the many different ministries in Malone, for Catherine as she dedicates her life to the service of God and follows his leading, for Courtney as she coordinates our youth and children's work, for all the leaders involved in Koinonia, PW, Babies and Tots, Storehouse, Baby Basics, International Meeting Point, and our small groups. And we pray for all members who faithfully and quietly commit their time to serve every week. For the Ethiopia team in Malone as they start to plan the mission trip with Stand By Me. We also pray for the charities we support through our mission fund and for the charities team as they have just done so, raise awareness. And I'll just repeat again, for United Appeal, Christian Aid, Tear Fund, Stand By Me and the Presbyterian Children's Society. We pray that we are able to provide the resources that they need to bring practical support and encouragement for those in need and demonstrate that God's love knows no boundaries. We pray for our world. The world needs action on poverty, climate change, mental health, famine and disease. And we pray that we all play our part to help, no matter how small our actions might seem. We pray for Russia and Ukraine, for Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Iraq, Yemen, Syria, Somalia, Libya, Myanmar and Colombia, and for all countries at war. But the one thing that the world desperately needs is unity and compassion. Help every country to reach an understanding that only by thinking of others as well as yourselves, can the world become peaceful and harmonious. God, this morning we pray for unity. We pray for those in our church family who aren't able to worship with us this morning, for those who are unwell, for those who are having treatment, for those who are weighed down by the stresses and strains of daily life, and for those who are caring for others. And this morning we also pray for Diane Kusick, who unfortunately is having to leave Zambia this week to return back to Northern Ireland to receive further medical treatment. We pray for safe travel for Diane as she leaves on Wednesday and pray that she will be able to get an early appointment with her consultant. Let's just take a moment to pause and pray for whoever may be on your mind. And finally, this week, let us be kind to one another. Let us be patient and have self-control and be gentle. Let us be full of goodness and have joy in our hearts. And let us love one another and have your peace, God, within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website. But in the meantime, stay faithful.